From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain Daily. I'm Tori Maguire and it is Monday, July 6. This morning, Premier Daniel Andrews announced the border between New South Wales and Victoria will close at midnight tomorrow. This came after Victoria recorded its highest ever increase in daily COVID-19 cases, 127 overnight. In Melbourne, 3,000 people remain stranded inside their public housing units as police patrol every floor trying to contain an outbreak of the virus. It's grim. I'm now joined by the news director of The Age, Patrick Elliott. Welcome to Please Explain Daily, Patrick.
Hi.
Things are very grim down in your neck of the woods.
Yes. Things are getting pretty bad. We've got 127 new cases today. That's the worst day for us in the entire pandemic.
And the scary thing about that is, Patrick, that they're community transmission cases, not people returning from overseas holed up in hotels.
Yeah, that's right. These outbreaks that are occurring across the northern and western suburbs of Melbourne are quite frightening for those in those communities, including myself. And they really are scattering across the suburbs. And of course, they're connected to our hotel quarantine system. The security guards at those hotel quarantine facilities became infected, came home to their families and friends in those suburbs, and it's sprung up from there.
So Patrick, just tell us what it's like being in a lockdown suburb. Are there police patrolling the suburbs?
There have been. It's not quite as apocalyptic as you might envision it. There is certainly still a little bit more movement in those suburbs than there was during the first lockdown. I think some of that may be due to the complexity of the situation we now find ourselves in, whereas the first wave, there was a very simple stay-at-home message. It was a blanket message across the whole city. But there have been roadblocks. It's kind of like a random breath test station that you'll see on main roads. There was one in my suburb a few days ago. It picked up, I think, 7 people throughout the whole day. And a lot of those people were charged with other things. It's not a heavy-handed police crackdown. It seems to me to be a bit more of a light touch based on my very limited view from inside my suburb.
Patrick, let's talk about the border. This morning, the premiers of New South Wales and Victoria and the Prime Minister decided to close the border between New South Wales and Victoria. That is something that the Premier in New South Wales, Gladys Berejiklian, has consistently ruled out, saying, you know, we're not going to do that. She was asked about that in a press conference about half an hour ago, if she felt silly changing her position, and she said, no, the circumstances have changed because this is a community transmission outbreak. I did not see this coming, did you?
No, certainly not. And I wouldn't want to be a New South Welshman on holidays in Bendigo right now, where there are, I think there's one active case in Bendigo or close to it. I think it's going to throw a few people's plans into disarray. I certainly didn't expect the border to close. However, I also didn't expect our case numbers to continue to spike up beyond 100. We've had 2 out of the last 3 days now, over 100 new cases. So I think to an extent, the leaders are having to improvise as they go. I don't think anyone expected things to get this carried away.
Let's talk about these public housing towers, Patrick. How many people are in those towers and what are the rules around them?
There are 3,000 people in the towers. The rules are quite strict. There's no coming or going. You're confined to your individual premises. There's no use of shared facilities. These towers are surrounded by police who are making sure that happens. Each floor is patrolled by 2 police. And these are, for anyone who's been to Melbourne, you would recognise them. These are these huge towers with the brown facades. They're a very recognisable part of Melbourne. They're massive facilities. So hundreds of police required, obviously, to make sure people aren't leaving their rooms to use shared laundries and things like that. It's a very hard crackdown in comparison to our other, you know, the lockdowns that are occurring in suburbs. It's a next level beyond stage 3 that we haven't yet seen.
What's the justification for it? Because some of those towers don't even have active cases in them.
That's right. So essentially the strategy there is that they believe there are cases active in all of these facilities, although that's not yet been recorded. That's a very different strategy to the one they've deployed more broadly across Melbourne, where they've tested first and then acted on lockdowns. There was, before each of the next phases in our lockdowns in Victoria, the government has made a fairly big song and dance about the collection of the data to justify the lockdown. On this case, it's the opposite. We've got a lockdown of the facilities so that data can be collected. We have 53 cases now today across those 9 towers. However, as of yesterday evening at least, not all of those cases obviously had recorded infections. So it's a slightly more difficult message for the government to justify the lockdown without the data. They are emphasising the importance of collecting that data.
What sort of support are those people getting? Because they didn't have any notice to prepare that this was coming.
There is quite a big push for support. So some of the testing hasn't really ramped up in those towers yet because the support efforts are taking precedence. So the first priority is making sure everyone has adequate food supply. The government has arranged a number of meals, food packages, and the like to be sent in to these hotels. There was also a very cute little toy pack for children that included Lego and balls and other games to keep the kids occupied. But there is quite a large outpouring from the government and from NGO of support. We've got free legal advice being offered to people within the towers. There are some concerns around, obviously, the mental health of people who have had a sudden lockdown imposed. Some of these flats aren't very large. That can, play on people's mental health as well. And then, just as there would be in any community, there are specific issues pertaining to particular groups and demographics within the towers that and health issues and various things that need to be addressed. And there is a very large effort underway from the government and NGOs to make sure those needs are met.
It's still a horrifying thought, isn't it? Being stuck inside your apartment, inside a massive building, police patrolling.
Absolutely. And there's a bit of history here between the tower residents and police as well. In 2013, the police reached a settlement with some of the members of Victoria's public housing towers. There was some profiling occurring on the residents there. So there is a bit of history between the police and some of the residents. And I think for some of them, seeing their homes, as it would for anyone, seeing your home surrounded by police in those new, rather intimidating black BMWs that they've got would be a pretty frightening prospect.
Patrick, I know you're stuck inside your house and you're not allowed to go out and talk to people, but as the news director of The Age, you must be getting some sense of the mood across Melbourne and how people are responding to this. As someone who's watched this all unfold from Sydney, it seemed like Victorians and Melbournians were pretty compliant with the original, pretty strict lockdowns and thought that Daniel Andrews was doing a good job. What do people think now?
Well, certainly the feedback we were getting, as you mentioned, in the first wave, there was a huge amount of support, and we were, by and large, seeing people extremely happy with the strict measures. Now there's a real split in the sort of feedback we're getting. Part of that may relate to the fact that we have this kind of patchwork lockdown in place now. Different people are feeling aggrieved or let down by their neighbours, or that they've done the right thing. Whatever the cause, there is certainly not the level of support that there was during the first lockdown. Also, I think something that might be playing into that, and certainly something that readers have mentioned to us, is that this second outbreak is partly attributed to what is perceived as a government failure to adequately run the hotel quarantine system. People don't mind, I think, chipping in to do their bit, but they don't feel great about it when, rightly or wrongly, they think it's because of a system not being run correctly or a government failure that might have contributed to these outbreaks.
It also just brings with it so much uncertainty. I mean, we sort of thought we were out of the woods. This outbreak shows that we might be going through these rolling lockdowns for years.
That's right. Who knows? I mean, Victoria was doing very, very well by any comparison with other larger states. I certainly didn't predict this second wave would come and take root as it has. However, yeah, there's nothing to stop this happening anywhere else. This is, we're talking about, you know, a few people starting this very large outbreak. It doesn't take much. So my advice to everyone who still has a taste of freedom in other states is to enjoy it while you can, and enjoy it sensibly, because it may not be there on a permanent basis.
Yeah. Well, Patrick, thanks so much for joining me on Please Explain.
No worries. Thanks, Tori.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by Chi Wong and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald work tirelessly to cover the news that matters. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search Subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.